Is that what she said? Exactly?
Translate.
Okay, so do you believe Muhammad's the messenger of God or not? I'm not going to push you.
I think it's personally in her life where she and, I don't know, let's say someone has a family member died or something, and you sort of just get angry about that.
So, but I have my brother. He was born, and when he had 2 years,
he passed away.
Now he has 37 years, like a baby.
So he's guaranteed paradise.
Apart of this, yes, play Arjuna.
Alhamdulillah.
Why
are you upset about that?
My brother. He can talk, he can explain himself.
No. No, I understand that.
When you saw that more, he has problems with stomach, he gets too up.
No, I understand that.
Does it make you think about God?
No, but here's the thing you see.
Are you with her?
He's guaranteed paradise for one. For two, how strong will that make your parents? See, here's the thing you see. Just because bad things happen doesn't mean God doesn't exist.
Yeah, but sometimes it's like, I used to be
quite
the time I lost the thing.
But this is what I'm saying to you. You see, your belief shouldn't be an emotional one. Yeah? Your Islam shouldn't be an emotional belief. It should be an intellectual belief. And when it's an intellectual belief, it doesn't matter how hard life gets. It doesn't change the reality.
But she can't see... she can't see the logic of how all-loving, all-kind, all-merciful God can allow, in her opinion anyway, such evil to happen.
No. But who causes the evil to happen?
This is what... It was a natural thing. So it was illness.
No. But who said that's an evil thing?
From her perspective, it is.
From a perspective where you think this life is everything, I agree. If there was no life after this life, I agree with you. No. Okay. But her brother, his guaranteed paradise.
Yes, but who has the kids?
She's suffering a lot in this life.
No. But this, I will say it again to you. There are people suffering in this life more than your brother. Simple. People are starving to death. There's nothing to eat. Yeah, there's famine in the world. There are people who have no food to eat. All right, but there are people who have no food. But there are
different situations.
Allahu Akbar. We understand that. And so everyone has their test. This is your test. This is your parents' test. This is your brother's. But alhamdulillah, your brother is guaranteed paradise. You should be so happy. But if you don't...
When you saw him suffering...
It's difficult, sister.
Don't have
yes.
Stomach.
No, I understand.
You're trying to detach emotions from intellect.
What I'm saying to you, just because babies die doesn't mean God doesn't exist.
It doesn't.
The question needs to be asked.
It's hard to believe.
No, it's not. The question. That makes no sense. What you should do is, if babies die, you can ask the question: why does God allow babies to die? And look at the rationale behind it. I'll just explain to you.
How?
I just explained to you that everyone has a test in this life.
But then how does a baby dying affect my test? I don't understand.
It's not your... All right, okay. I'll give you a prime example of a test. All right. Have you heard of Sarah Payne?
No.
Now, Sarah Payne was a little girl. She was 6 years old.
It's a disease.
Huh?
No, it's a girl.
A little girl. And she was coming home from swimming. And she was abducted, raped and murdered. Sarah Payne was her name. Now, this was the first time in my life as a non-Muslim that I connected religion to real life. I'll explain why. What happened with this girl should never have happened if the parents were Muslims, being alone, this, that, the other. The guy who did it was what we call, he was a paedophile, yeah? And he was living in the area and he abducted and killed her, right? How do you think her mother felt? Right. Who is her mother today? I think she's a baroness. She brought in a new law called Sarah's Law. So it's compulsory for councillors to let people know if this paedophile is living in your area. So from that, and she was just off a council estate, but what the growth that she got from what happened to her little girl, yeah, has made it, and she's benefited so many people now, right? Now, here's the thing you see. If you want the best part of an olive, what you got to do to it?
From this side, right? That side.
Squeeze it.
Try not to record the system.
If you want steel, you have to put the iron through the fire. Yeah? This is how we grow as human beings, through experience and become stronger. So, No, I'm not saying sacrifice. I'm just saying through hardship, through adversity, we become stronger and better people. Yeah. So if you, someone, how, everyone has a different term. Say it again.
Like killings and rape and stuff.
No, no. Okay.
They're falling, they're going higher.
Okay.
So obviously we're not learning.
Say that, who's not learning?
Human beings as a whole.
No, no. Well, if they followed the teaching of Islam, they would.
But there's a big difference, though. But Islam's been there for 1400 years, right?
Right.
And is Islam as a religion, is it growing or is it declining?
Growing.
It's growing. But yet, rapes and stuff is also growing. Also.
Well, not, not. But yeah. Okay, I'll say it again to you. I just explained this, bad things happen, mm-hmm. but these things can be a burden or a benefit. So you've heard of a saying, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. Yeah, we heard that saying, when life gives you lemons, which gives you bad time, make lemonade. All right, my, the way I look at life, and this is why maybe I'm on a different understanding to you guys. When life gives me lemons, I don't just make lemonade. I open lemonade factories and I import an expert around the world. Yeah. Because I know, alhamdulillah, it's from my Lord. Yeah? And there must be some benefit in it for me to grow as a human being. See, if everybody had a happy life, yeah? No, listen. If everybody had a happy life, no one would think about their God.
No, but what I agree with you saying 100%. Okay, right? If we had to sacrifice some pain and suffering for us to grow as a society, as a race, well, you know, it makes sense, right? But let's just say, me as a creator.
Are you a Muslim, by the way?
Yeah, I am. But me and Tinker, we've argued for hours and hours like back in the day. But me, let's say I'm the creator, right? And I've said, you know what, I'm going to allow these things to happen in order for human beings to sort of excel and grow.
To test,
whatever, right? But I can see that these human beings are failing miserably or declining, as we both agreed that murder rates and rape and stuff. They've risen.
Well, no, that's what makes the population increasing.
Yeah. So, population increases, so murder rates and rapes.
Okay, what's the murder rate stats in Saudi Arabia? Do you think there's a lot?
I don't think it's a lot, no.
No. So, this idea that murder rate has anything to do with God. Who's doing the murdering? Men. Men unaccountable, think they're unaccountable for their actions. They can do as they please.
For murder, I forget that, because that's human.
No, no.
But things like illnesses. Things like illnesses, yeah. Which you are born with, which you have
to. But that's a test.
Can I just say one thing, brother? About illnesses, yeah, just giving an example. For example, sometimes atheists will come and say, why does your God give sicknesses?
Yeah.
Why does he give disability? Yes, sister? And I feel what you said, sister, about your brother, yeah? But let me teach you, say something to you, sister, yeah? Sometimes, is it, you know, our food and our water, Allah has made the world pure. Yeah, for a long time, long back in the past, people were drinking water, their immune systems were strong, etc., etc. If you ask, why was this guy born disabled, for example, yeah, or this sickness happened to this guy, yeah? Sometimes, brother, it is ourselves, mankind, who is messing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ways that are causing these things to us.
The environment and all these things.
I agree, but at the same time,
yes.
If I'm all powerful, all
right, right.
And creation
has made a mess of mind. No. The whole point is, man was given a free will, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right. So, Allah kind of here. I don't want to go into the Christian argument, but I'll give you an example. My friend's daughter, yeah, she was 3 years old. She was in St. Thomas's Hospital, and she was dying. We don't know what it was, but nothing. She was in front of no treatment whatsoever. And what the doctor said, her organs are shutting down one by one. And if she survives through this, she's going to be
vegetable. I don't.
Sorry, that's a bit derogative. She's going to be brain damaged. Okay. So what happened, right? I went to all the mosques that I knew and said, look, everyone pray for this little girl. Everyone was praying for her. Yeah. Within 3 days, she completely recovered. The doctor said, we've never seen anything like this. And she's like a math genius today. She's the opposite. She's antithesis of being brain dead. She's very, very clever. Now, Allah could have healed her in that sense, because we all made dua for her. The doctor said there's nothing we can do for her medically, but she was healed. So if you're saying, why can't Allah heal people? Allah can heal people. But like I say, everyone has their test.
So there are questions. So your belief is that in this instance, that Allah
heals you? I believe Allah can heal you. We call it shifa.
So then when you see, for example, starving kids...
Why are they starving?
Let's say they're starving because of... people, so you know, Western world, whatever. But then, the same way, why she was ill, not because of any fault of her own, these kids are starving because not any fault of their own as well.
No, but these children are guaranteed paradise if they die in that state anyway.
But what I believe is. It's easy for us to sit and say, oh, you're going to paradise, don't worry about it.
Right.
But you tell it to the kid who hasn't got food, who hasn't got water, who hasn't got clothes.
Oh, okay. You know, in these environments, how much suicide do you hear of?
Here, obviously, a lot more than...
There's no suicide.
Here?
No, in a place where they're starving to death.
Yeah, well, suicide...
No, the point here is this. They don't think like you think, you see. They're in that environment. Yeah, they're dealing with that environment. But the reason they're starving...
So are you telling me that they think that, you know, don't worry, I'm going to starve to death, but I'm going to go to heaven?
No. No, I'm saying to you, the reason they're starving to death is because of decisions man has made.
Yeah.
Now, God has given man free will, and they'll be held accountable. So whoever's been responsible for those children starving to death is going to be held accountable.
Okay, no, but I'm not disputing. I agree with 100%.
So what's the point?
The question I have is, you believe... that God can intervene and can sort of heal the sick.
Yeah.
So, for example, your friend's 3-year-old daughter, he miraculously healed her and she's a genius now. And he did it for her. But then, for these thousands of kids or people that starve to death, he chooses not to.
Well, I don't think they're starving to death, to be honest with you, because even for the teachers of Islam, the charity is a massive thing. And there's so much funding going there anyway.
So you disagree that people start starving?
No. Well, the point here is this. If you send money to a country to help the people stop starving, but the government that country is corrupt and they use that money to buy weapons...
The question is, why is the reason?
No. I explained that. Yeah. The reason they're starving to death is because of the people.
Okay, but then same way, the girl, your friend's daughter, she had the best doctors and psychologists.
So,
the aid was there,
right?
But obviously they couldn't do nothing anyway. But still, he intervened to make her better.
Right.
But then in this situation in countries where kids are starving to death,
right.
There's the aid being set, but then it's being taken back.
Yeah.
But surely God could intervene and stop that, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. But even your argument doesn't mean God doesn't exist.
I'm not saying it doesn't exist.
So what you're asking is why does God allow the suffering to happen?
Yes. Well, no. Why do you allow the suffering to continue?
My question is, if you believe God can intervene and stop suffering, and you believe in some instances like the 3-year-old daughter that He has intervened and stopped the girl from dying, then why is He intervenes in some but not in other cases?
Okay. First of all, the idea that someone's has intervened specifically for somebody is an assumption the person has made. There's no way to verify.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
This is the basic point.
The
question is why is Allah not stopping the suffering that's happening around the world? If he can do that.
Yeah.
Okay. There's two or three different ways of approaching this question. The first way of approaching the question is, what's your background? Muslim background?
Yeah.
So are you circumcised?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember the circumcision? Was it painful? Must have been, right? You must have been the worst agony you could think of probably at that time was happening. You can't remember it now. What's changed?
No.
What's changed in that time when you were suffering and now that you can't even remember the suffering? Just time.
Yeah, time.
Okay. When your life ends here, is your experience ending here or not? As Muslims, what do we do? How far in the future can your experience go? Infinite. So, in an infinite number of years, your experience you had with your circumcision, it won't even be a memory of a memory. So there's a hadith of the Prophet, and I explain this, and this beautifully explains this. Now, I'm paraphrasing not exact words. Take a person who has had all of the riches in their life, pleasures, women, money, cars, never had any suffering. Allah will take that man and dip him for one moment in the hellfire and ask him, what was your life like? And he says, I don't even know what asking about his pleasure is like. He says, I don't even know what the word pleasure means. I have no concept of it. And you take somebody who has suffered cancer, torture, rape, murder, starvation, everything. Allah will dip that person for one moment in the paradise and ask him, what suffering have you had in the world? And he will say, I don't even remember suffering. And ultimately, as theists, all of the suffering we see, it has a purpose here. The children who are starving in Syria, in Palestine, the suffering that we see, it's a test for us as well as for them. Us, for us, what's the test? We should be striving our best to do what we can for them. We should be making it's something that brings us closer to something
different. I can agree with what you're saying, but the thing that with everyone's first answer is, what do you believe? So do you personally believe that God can intervene and save people?
So I'll tell you the setup, because this is the setup. So what is it like even us as human beings that he hasn't given anyone else? Because the only thing that he's given us, he's not given to anyone else.
Anyone else is in
the... Any other creature, apart from jinn maybe. Free will. The ability to choose right and wrong is given as this. So no one else has this ability. Angels don't have free will. Jinns have a limited free will. We have a free will. So why was this given to us? The choice between right and wrong. So God put Adam and Eve, and he put them in the Garden of Eden. Before putting them in the Garden of Eden, Allah says in the Quran, I will make a vice regent, a khilafah for this person on the earth. So our destination is the earth before we were even in paradise. We were meant to be here. And then what did he do in paradise? In Eden, what did he do? He gave us rules. One rule. Arbitrary.
He knows.
Do whatever you like. Don't touch this tree.
Look, watch this. Check this out.
What did we do? We ate from the tree. So then what did God do to us? I'm explaining. I'm explaining the setup. Does anyone understand?
I will feel bad.
God then taught Adam how to seek us for help, and he forgave him. And he said, "Go to the earth now. I will send my messengers. Follow their guidance, and you will not have fear or grief." And what's the guidance? You have choice. You have the ability to make choice, right and wrong.
I've reached the point.
If you make a wrong choice, you will seek us for help. I will forgive you. And that's the message that the messengers will come and give you. Okay. And then he led us into the world. You're here for a short time. Allah says everywhere in the Quran, I will bring you back to me. Ultimately, we're going back to Allah, no matter what happens.
Ultimately, he's
suffering, no suffering, murder, starvation, whatever, we're all going back to Allah, ultimately. Why? Because then we're going to be judged on what happens here to us.
But then it says in the Quran, he says, give glad tidings.
I can agree with 100%, right? It's easy for us to understand, comprehend, and accept this. We've got food, we've got whatever we want. Right? But then if you were to try and explain that to a kid, for example, in Syria, or in Iraq, or in Somalia, or in Kenya, where they're starving to death, and they haven't got water, and you're going to say to him, oh, don't worry, little man, you're going to starve to death, but there's an all-loving God, and he's done this because he loves you, and he wants you to go to heaven.
That's not what I would say to
him. But if you were to try and explain this to him,
That's not what I would say. I'll tell you what I would say to them. First of all, if you go to them, they're going to say to you, Asmanaha, Allah, they will tell it to you. That starving child, and I've seen videos of these children, they will
keep you. No, I'm okay. Just like that.
We are trusting the way God hates us. Why is this being done? Because this is the test. This is the test. And this is not the end.
I understand that, because I'm in London. And I've
nothing to do with London. Sorry,
it does. But, okay, because I'm not a property then. Right? I'm not starving to
death. No, I understand.
And let me give you an example. If you go back in my history of my ancestors, the poorest people you've ever seen in the place of Jesus, they've been teaching... Yeah, this is a test, this life is a test, from before there was anything, before they even had a roof over their head. And these people who are in these places where they're suffering, you've got Afghanistan, Pakistan, India, Syria, Palestine.
So you're saying your current situation has no effect on your belief in God?
Completely not. Why would money make it a difference?
It's my personal belief that if your people's situations in life will affect their belief.
This is the plural Arabic. What does the word fitna mean?
is
so in order to be a Christian, you should not follow the
things that make you go towards the Bible.
What happens when he is in a higher general than you and me, then we will say, I wish.
They will come out of it.
You understand?
It's a purification process.
We are weak creatures.
This is weak metal. Yeah.
It does make it stronger.
Okay. But what you're doing is you're removing the impurities.
Others learn by example.
Then you're left with the pure product. So some of the fitna that we see in the earth has a purpose. In the bigger context of things. So for example, your experience going on forever into
this
the future
is difficult.
And your remembrance of the circumcision already is, you don't remember. In the future, it's not going to exist for you. So
you're going to...
I mean, you can't remember the pain, can you?
That's the point.
Someone who's starving to death doesn't remember that pain until they die.
No. But the whole point is this. And then after that.
Then after that, I'm going to remember it.
This is a test on all of us.
That's even me.
Today, you tell me.
You know what I mean?
But that's what we do believe.
You know, I'm agreeing with you. I'm not disagreeing with you. But
you know,
what I'm saying is,
when they came to Islam,
be, do you think, or do you believe that it would be the same?
Yeah, it's okay, brother.
Same, sending a kid who's starving to death, but don't worry. And would you expect to believe
it? What is it?
Just bring it.
Hashim. Just hang it on my camera.
For example.
Please, brother, please.
There's a big screen in a starving country.
Yeah, but
everyone can see that.
But then I said against you, according to what we believe, like he said, this is our test. Are we willing to take dip hands in our pockets and support them?
Let's say these kids didn't believe. They were starving.
So you say they're starving non-Muslim children?
Yeah, starving non-Muslim children.
Yeah. You cannot be judged until you come of age. They don't have it. All children, Hindu, Christian, Jewish, animism,
all guaranteed paradise.
It's just basically telling me. I don't think
we've got a point clear. I think it's easier for people in the West or better situations to believe in religion. I think it's easier. When you see someone in a war-torn country, it's just my opinion. Well, I think a lot of people, who I've spoken to anyway, think have bad in life and then they question. They're like, oh, why is that bad to me? What have I done wrong in life? It's unfair. Right? And if you get a country
how many atheists do you think there are in Gaza?
Yeah, exactly. This is the point. The history is opposite.
How many atheists are in Gaza?
The poorer the society, the greater the religion.
As I said to him, I said, you don't see these starving Somalis and such commit suicide.
The greater the difficulty, the greater the irony.
Honestly, they're the ones you'd expect to be. The ones who should be
oppressed. People that started to follow the prophets before. Everyone else.
And look at the patience of these people. It's next level. Allah says in the Quran. Allah says.
They were doing something. They came to Iman.
Unless we're on the deen.
That's why the guidance has come.
That's the whole point of the deen.
Allah says,
if everyone followed this deen, we wouldn't have this. People would be feeding these kids. These starving kids wouldn't even exist.
Because people see success in this life as material possession.
And if you do that, then you're trying to hoard it. But if you don't believe that success in this life is material possession, it's pleasing your Lord, and if pleasing your Lord means feeding starving children, you wouldn't keep that money, you'd feed the starving children. But you can't then give man free will and then say you've got to do this and that. Do you know what I'm saying? Well, whoever does, like I said to you, whoever's responsible for those starving children, they're going to answer for it. And here's the thing, the one who has the money is going to be held accountable for every penny they had. It's even worse.
The people who are having
it, better not to have the money. We're going to have the harder time.
We're going to be crushing.
The poor people are going to breeze.
We're going to ask,
what did you do with that money?
What we're saying is that God loves the poor more.
Allah is just.
Look at this verse.
Honestly,
this verse is
the people are going to go to heaven is from the
poor people.
It's a small verse.
There's two things going on.
One is that you said you felt better when you were praying.
All non-Muslims. Let's say, there's a non- let's say, for example, he's a non-Muslim, right? And the same way you believe in the Quran, he believes in his Bible.
Right.
Now, there's no way I could convince you that the Quran is wrong.
That
right. Impossible, right?
Right.
Now, let's say he was saying, there's no way I could, he's a good man in the sense where he's a charitable man, he gives charity, he never back to people. You know, he's just a good person, right? But then there's a Muslim, he says he's a Muslim, but he's a total scumbag. He, you know, what's the deal? Do X, Y, and Z. You know, he's a scumbag.
Can I answer this?
Does he go to hell? And does he go to heaven? Explain, what happens there?
Who will be the lowest of in Jahannam?
No,
who do you know?
No.
Munafiq.
The
and every single one of them Munafiq said La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah.
But they still go to, they still go to
no, the lowest Jahannam.
Oh, okay.
Lowest. Below everyone.
Yeah, come this way.
So being a Muslim doesn't do nothing for you, mate.
But then as a Christian, can he still go to heaven?
Just last thing.
Because there's two things here. There's respect and kindness to people, and there's respect to God.
She has hijab. Will you tell her
so if
he still respects God in his...
No. But he denies Muhammad's messenger of God.
No, what I mean by if he's a Christian, but he's good in compared to Muslim standards, Islam standards. So he does everything the Quran says, except for the believing.
What does it say about Muhammad?
Give me a month.
He has no opinion about the religion.
No, you'll have to say it's a false prophet.
Huh?
You'll have to say it's a false prophet.
What, to believe in Muhammad is Muhammad's a false prophet?
So you know the example.
But he does all good by Quran standards.
There's three types of people in this world. There are those.
This is what he got on.
There are those who are kind to the people, feed the neighbours and such, but then disrespect God. And by disrespect God, I mean ignore God and ignore His messengers. Then there are those who respect God, i.e. they respect God exists and they respect His messengers, but they're cruel and they're cheating business and such, yeah? And then you have the ones who believe in God, yeah? Believe in His messenger and act upon the message and are kind to their neighbours and don't cheat in business.
I know, you feel ashamed.
That's what we have to ascribe to. Yeah? That's what we need to aspire to, should I say. That's what we need to get to. Now, the person, there's no point being good to your neighbours when you disrespect God. It's pointless. It's, you know what I say about these people? You're going to work but you ain't getting paid.
I don't mean to disrespect God, but there's...
No. If they're ignoring God and denying God's existence...
What if they've just tried to believe... But they just in their heart they can't.
Well, unfortunately, if you listen to me intellectually, you'll be convinced, inshallah, that God exists and Muhammad is a messenger of Allah.
No.
What I'm saying to you.
No.
I hear the silence. No. What the point here is saying there's no reason not to, unless you choose not to.
So what you're saying is you don't believe there's anyone out there who sort of listen to you or listen to someone with knowledge on Islam and still disbelieve.
Of course there are.
And why is that?
Because they reject the truth.
Because they don't want the truth. Because it's going to, you know, people, we hate change.
But isn't truth like it's a subjective thing? Yeah.
No. There's objective truth as well, isn't there?
No, it's the truth for you.
No. The reality
it's the truth for me, but it might not be the truth for him.
The absolute truth is the reality.
For me, forget you, me. It is.
Do you agree or not?
I agree with you in this
right, so even this atheist, so it's not like a subjective reality. What is the reality? This universe exists. It's either an accidental existence or it's a deliberate existence. It's one or the other.
Alright,
yeah, but whatever it is will be the absolute truth. And even if we don't know what it is, it's got to be one or the other.
Okay.
So we know the concept of the absolute truth exists. So for example, Jesus either was who the Christians claim he was, or he wasn't. Either Muhammad is the messenger of God, or he isn't. Okay. Now, if you've got rationale and intellect, you hear the claim being made, and the reasons supporting it. Now, if you can look at those reasons and think, you know what, they kind of make sense. But most of the time, people know that if they accept Islam, it comes with a lot of baggage. They're going to have to start watching what they eat, they can't do the things they enjoy no more. So they make excuses for themselves. They're not intellectually convinced. Look, I became intellectually convinced Islam was true, but I didn't take my shahada. Yeah, why?
Because you're scared to change your life.
I had two daughters that I knew that my ex, my missus at that time, my girlfriend of 6 years, ain't going to accept Islam, and ain't going to accept that the girl's being Muslim, and ain't going to marry me. I knew that my business, which was finance, mortgage advisor, I would have to that business was a partnership with my father, which would wreck my relationship with my father.
Are you okay if I just go pray?
And I used to love God. I loved it. Right? So I knew once I accept Islam as the truth completely, All this is gone. And I didn't want to give it away. So I hid from it. I kind of put it at the back of my mind. Okay, yeah, it seems true, but you know, and I carried on doing what I was doing. And then what happened? I had a car crash. It wasn't a full car crash, it was a kind of more of a narrow escape. I was going on the motorway. Okay. No, I was going on a motorway. It was raining heavy. I was going to see a client with regards to my finance business, and they'd closed off the fast lane. So I didn't see. So the cones came, and I smashed into the cones. So I skidded to a halt, rain pouring on my car. And then I stopped and I said to myself, my God, I could have died now. And at that point, I said, I would have said goodbye to my daughters. I would have said goodbye to my father, goodbye to my business. I wouldn't be able to gamble anymore. And then I went, whoa, what am I holding on to? What is the price I'm going to pay? And then I said, you know what? That's it. And I became a Muslim because of that. I accepted Islam. That I'd already been intellectually convinced, but I was emotionally keeping it away. When that happened to me, and I knew I'm going to say goodbye to my daughters sometime, I'm going to stop gambling sometime because I'm going to die. Then I realised what price. So then I accepted Islam, and then within 4 months was in Morocco getting married, and the rest is history. But the point here is, yeah, people can be intellectually convinced, but are they willing to make that step? I would never stop gambling. No one could stop. And I wasn't at casinos or anything like that. It was just local bookies. Horses. It used to be horses and dogs until I worked in the bookies and realised it was all rigged. So then it was just football bets and stuff like that. Yeah, I absolutely love it. No one could stop me. When anyone tried to stop me and say, listen, mate, you go fishing, you pay for your licence and buy your rods, or you go play golf, you pay for your club membership and all that. I just like 100 quid in the bookies on a Saturday. I go to a car boot sale, make a little bit of dough, put all my football bets on, go home, watch that soccer Saturday. It was a magic Saturday for me, that, right? You couldn't convince me but gambling was bad.
Yeah.
As soon as I embraced Islam.
But then you saw the logic in it, right?
But I'd already seen the logic in it. I'd already accepted it was true. Yeah,
so then you're lying to yourself then, right?
Yes.
Yeah, no, but there's some
at
people...
At that point.
But what I'm saying is that there's this man who is an atheist because he just does not see the logic in Islam.
I'm not atheist, my friend.
I'll say...
let me explain something to you. Have you seen my conversation with atheists?
Have I seen it? No.
Majority. Inshallah. The majority of the time, and I will say the majority of the time, an atheist will start off very reasonable, very logical, very rational, very intellectual, yeah? Within 5 minutes, they're reduced to emotional, they're saying things, they're contradicting themselves, logic gone out the window, everything's hyper-skepticism. Not because they can't accept what I'm saying is true. They know, look...
Well, I'm an atheist, by the way.
No, we know that. But they know if they accept what I'm saying is true, it's going to change their life.
And they don't want to change.
So what it is a rabbit hole. And they know that hole is going. They're going in that hole, right? If they follow my logical reasoning, if they follow the tangent I'm on, they're going in the hole, right? So they're hopping around. They ask them a question, and rather than answer the question, they try to think where I'm going with the question. That's not genuine, is it?
No.
So I wouldn't. I will not say I've had an intellectual discussion with a person that's intellectually give a good reason why not to accept what I'm saying. Be honest with you. It's more to do with the fact they don't want to change their life. Do you know human beings by nature, we don't like change. We're creatures of habit. Do you know the most traumatic thing is moving house? Who knew how much is in that kitchen, man, in the cupboard?
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is this. We don't like, we're not changing jobs. We don't like changing relationships. We hate change. So when you accept Islam is true intellectually, there's a ramification of that. It's going to affect everything. Because if Muhammad is indeed a messenger of Allah, then that means what he's saying is from Allah. Follow the guidance. And that's why when I came to yourself, I'm going to pick on the hijab. Right?
What?
I'm going to pick on the hijab. Right? There's a reason why Allah mandated the hijab for Muslim women. Yeah, there's a reason for it. Now, we can rationalise why, but everything we see that Allah, that we can see the results from, that he's put down on us, we can see the benefit in it.
No, I agree.
And everything that he's prohibited,
we
can see why.
Yes.
So anything that Allah mandates, get on it. Do you understand?
No, I'm with you.
Alhamdulillah. So going back to your original point, an atheist, it's not that not intellectually convinced, they just don't want to be convinced, because if they're a girl, for example, they're not going to think, oh, I've got to wear that scarf. No, but they will do. And the guys are like, oh my God, you know, I like a pint, I have to stop drinking that. So I've had many people say to me, I think Islam is true, but I can't stop drinking. Or I think Islam is true, but I have to do this. Oh, I'm with my partner. You know, I give shahada to this, not shahada, sorry, I give beautiful dawah to this lady, right? She's married with 5 kids. If she took her shahada, she's going to start thinking, my God, can I stay with my husband? Wake her family up. Do you get me? And that's hard for me to give that out to somebody like that, because I know it wasn't convinced this person, it could wreck a whole marriage. Do you understand?
Okay, so what's the situation? That's a good point. So, let's say there's a woman who's got five kids and that, you want her to do what, just leave her husband because...
No. I tell her, bring your husband and we'll give him child also.
And what if he doesn't accept?
Keep
there's a woman, she's married with five kids.
All right. Let's just establish a point here.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as unconditional love.
There's no such thing.
Doesn't exist. All love is conditional. No, you can have parents, but if you abuse your parents and you steal from your parents, they ain't going to love you. I'll give you an example, right? My mum, I had this conversation with my mum, and she was in hospital. She had a heart attack 3 weeks ago, right, in Scotland. And I went to her, right, and I said to her, I know, my sister, I had seen for 20 years, was also there, right? So I said to her, look, there's no such thing as, because she's married to an atheist guy, right? So I said to her, look, there's no such thing as unconditional love. She goes, yeah, there is. I said, I'll tell you what, then what if I kick your dog? Right? Because you've got this little dog, she loves it to death. I said, what if I kick your dog? You're going to still love me. And she goes, oh, I'll kick you back. I said, yeah, I get that. But would you still love me? She goes, yeah, my son. I said, what if I kill your dog?
You're angry, but she still loves you.
No, that's not what she said. She looks at me and she gave me a smile, meaning you're right. Right? So the point here is this. Love is conditional. So when you're in a relationship with somebody, why are you in a relationship with that person?
It's conditional love. That's conditional.
It's all conditional.
Yeah, I agree with
right,
that.
Right, right. So when you're in a relationship with somebody, so you're in a marriage with somebody, why are you together? Why are you compatible? Because you're like-minded.
Yeah.
You think the same things. You enjoy the same things. You like the same food. You like the same... Whatever you do, this is what's brought you together. When one of them becomes a Muslim, the values switch.
And what they like is not what
so the, now all of a sudden there's a problem now, because what you thought wasn't valuable or important becomes the most important, and then what you thought wasn't important, what we thought was really important, becomes worthless. So if you're in a relationship, so if you've got someone in a relationship who embraces Islam and the other person is still the other values, all of a sudden that compatibility is affected. Now you've got two choices here: either you bring this one on board as well, or it's going to separate, you know. And it is what it is. You know, marriages break up all the time anyway, over different things. But like I said, if it's a woman who's embraced Islam, I would definitely speak to her husband and say, look, you love her. You know she's not a stupid person. You know what I mean?
Embrace Islam.
Yeah. I'm going to give you one beautiful little story. And you can check this out on internet. There's a sister called Amina Asilmi. Have you heard of her? Have you heard of her? Everyone should have heard of this woman. So basically, she's in Bible Belt America. I think it's in the 50s. And she's a Christian. Hardcore Christian. And she gets two hijabi students in her school. And she says to her husband, I'm not teaching these dirty heathens. And her husband says, look, wait. If you've got a problem with them being Muslim, why don't you convert them in the name of Jesus? Make them Christians. She thought, that's a fantastic idea. So anyway, she said she's going to start speaking to them about Christ. Anyway, one thing led to another. She became Muslim. So what happens now? Her husband gets suspicious of her. He's saying, you must be having an affair because, you know, you're getting all these strange ideas, right? So what happens then? I want a divorce. And she's got three children. What does she do? So she goes to the court, and the judge said to her, this is Bible Belt America, either we know you've embraced this strange religion. If you come back to your religion, I'll give custody to you. If you
stay as a Muslim,
your custody is going to the father. So at this point, you say you've got 2 weeks to, you know, decide. I might be, some of the details might be a little bit different. It's virtually the story. So anyway, she
there he is.
So she left to think about it, and she made istikhara, and she asked Allah. Anyway, she goes back to the court, and the judge says, have you made your mind up? He goes, yeah, I give custody of my children to Allah. So she's embraced Islam, and she knows it's going to cost her children, but she allows her children to go with her father.
I know, I said it first.
At this point, her father wants to kill her. Because what she's done broke the family up and all these things. So she has to run to another part of America to live with her aunt.
I missed the final.
Yeah? In her absence, her three children, her husband and her mother and father all became Muslims. I don't know the whole story. But the reality here is this. You don't know what's going to come from it. Now, if she'd at that point said, you know what, I'm not going to lose my children, I'm going to stay with my children. Yeah? Islam would have been dead in the water. You'd start making excuses why Islam's not true.
Yeah, sure. No, take it. Oh,
this is why when I speak to an ex-Muslim, yeah? Right?
Where are you going?
Within 5 minutes, there'll be a raving Islamophobe. Within 5 minutes, no doubt about it.
I don't know why Arabs as well. Well, I've seen
any of them.
Anyway. But when they're not Muslim, they have to make it clear to the world that they are not. Why is
the mic?
You know why I make an ex-Muslim and Islamophobe?
Hero.
It's like I asked a question. Why don't you believe Muhammad's a messenger of God? Why don't you believe the Quran is the word of Allah? And they have to start fissioning in the missionaries and the atheist arguments about Aisha and her and 72 virgins and all of this rubbish. Yeah? And I'm not joking. The depths how they will go to just... And now the reason they've left Islam is very simple. Either they've been brought up and they've had a bad experience with Islam in the sense of their parents might have been strict on them or forced them to marry somebody or something along these kind of lines. So it's an emotional reason why, but they have to intellectually justify it when they come up against me. Because I ask them the direct question. I don't ask about, oh, how was your life? How did you suffer? No. Why don't you believe Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the messenger of Allah? Why don't you believe the Quran is the word of Allah? Why don't you believe Allah exists? Why do you believe the Bible is a reliable source of information? Why do you believe Jesus died for you? Because that's what happens. Do you get me?
No, I'm with you.
Right. So this idea that... God, we've gone all over here. Well, this idea that people are not intellectually convinced, it's not necessarily that. It's the fact that innately they know things are going to change and they're not ready for it.
Just open the legs a bit for me. I've got one hand. Cheers, that's enough. That's enough. Just
yeah, of course. Enough. We believe in fitra, that all babies are born with this fitra to worship their creator. Okay. We believe all of us promise to worship our creator, but this fitra over time will get clouded. Whether it's culture that clouds it, experience that clouds it, something will cloud it. So sometimes when you speak to an atheist, and you can be talking about cosmology and this, that, the other, the real reason might be the fact that his aunt died when he was young. And he's done what you've done. He's blamed God for it. Turned his... No, what you said earlier about suffering and such. So the suffering occurred. So at that point, he's blamed God. And then now to justify, he's trying to justify it intellectually.
So you believe that all atheists still have a belief of God? They're just choosing to sort of mask it and say it's not true.
No. Some are arrogant. I think science is everything. Not realising that it's a belief. They don't even realise themselves. You know, you just believe in this stuff. There's no absolutes in science. It's all a hypothesis and maybe this and maybe that. Do you understand?
Hypothesis is a belief, but there's science.
It's all a belief. It's all a belief.
The laws of physics aren't beliefs. It can be demonstrated.
There's no absolutes in science.
Okay, if you want to go into depth, yeah, okay.
Yeah, so therefore, they might discover new data, new information, which will change what they already know. Yeah, exactly. So then they're willing to change their theory, innit?
Yeah.
So this is how it works, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right. So when I speak to atheists, there's no intellect there. Or there isn't. Well, go back to fitra, sorry. So, like I said to you, it's not the fact they can't understand the idea of a first cause and infinite regression can't happen and such like that. It's more to do with, like I say, they've had a bad experience in their life. They got might be abused as a kid. And where was God when I was being abused? And so to just they've tried to justify it intellectually. Yeah, but that's not the reason why. So when you speak about the suffering, like Imran did with you, that could unlock their fitra. You know, and that will open them up to accept the rationale then. So we don't know with people, and we never prejudge anyone. Yeah, alhamdulillah, we never prejudge anyone. But I always like to ask the question, why do you believe what you believe? I always like to ask that question. To see, is it their belief?
Most people just say, because my parents...
No, they don't. They don't. You ask someone why they believe it, they'll try and give you some kind of rationale. You know what I mean? But the reality is, most of the time, you are correct, they can't understand why they believe what they believe. They don't know why they believe what they believe. They just accepted it. They were born into it.
Is that wrong?
Never thought about it.
Is that wrong?
Define wrong. Yeah, I do. I don't think truth can be established by your geographical birthplace. No.
I agree with you.
Right. So yeah. I think you have to seek intellectual investigation, conduct investigation, and then
so
that's
you
it.
Read my diary. And you've never read my diary. How you believe my diary? You've never read it.
And obviously, as well as Muslims, we're not Christians. We don't believe that if you don't hear the message of Islam, and not just hear the message, but hear it in a palatable way, in a language you understand. Then you're not going to be held accountable for not adhering to that. It's like I always say this about my grandfather. He died, and I think to myself, is he in heaven, hell, what? And then it's like, do I honestly believe that my grandfather in Withenshaw, in a council estate, ever heard the true, beautiful teachings of Islam? I got to say no. I really got. He might have heard about Iraq and this and that and jihad and global war and Muslims kill everyone. Might have heard all that, oppression of women. Might have heard that, but that's not going to make him embrace Islam, is it? But did anyone sit with him and teach him about the Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his beautiful nature and character in the Quran and its miracles? Probably not.
So
then
would that mean majority of the population?
I would say so. But here's the thing, you see, I don't want to give anyone that excuse. No. I want to be a witness.
You know, but where would they go? This is what I was asking you. So let's just say, because I think the majority of the world who are not Muslims, or even Muslims, they won't actually know the depths of Islam and the true teachings of Islam. I think people's ideas of Islam have been corrupted.
Yeah, but you're going to be said you've got eyes, you've got ears, you could have done this, if you're a Muslim especially.
Is it upon them to sort of see?
Both. Seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave, isn't it?
Translate.
I say to him, translate.
Well, you're Syrian, isn't it?
Yeah, but the Moroccans, I don't... It's
oh, yeah. Barba.
Why
were
you saying that? I was like,
yeah, okay, we say no, seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave. Who's Moroccan? I think
he's Moroccan. Yeah, translate.
She's Moroccan. Yeah. Seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave.
We done, Hashim? I mean, Hamza.
Assalamualaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam. Labas.
Bekhair.
Oh, behave yourself. Alhamdulillah. Huh? Yeah, you're going to pray.
Finished?
Yeah, finished. Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
Assalamualaikum.